If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is Foundations, the radio ministry of Oak Hill Presbyterian Church, Sonora, California. We welcome you to our Sunday morning worship services under the leadership of Pastor David Bush. Stay tuned following today's program for more information about Oak Hill Presbyterian Church. Here now is today's message from Pastor Bush.
Okay, if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 through 11. I want to consider our sermon title is The God of All Comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Well, may God abundantly bless these words to our edification today as I seek to try to apply, more importantly, these words than exegete them fully. I've decided to take a break from our Deuteronomy series, our sermons, to address you with a sermon that I hope will add some perspective as we try to process the news that the Bush family received this week. And so if you'll indulge me, those of you who are already in the congregation and know much of this information, for those who may be listening by way of our radio ministry or who may hear this message via the internet, the information may not be something that they're in the know. So if you'd indulge me a moment to elaborate. The Bush family had the joy of giving birth to a little boy named Valor. Valor was born full term, 4 pounds, 14 ounces, very much underweight. He was metaflighted out to UC Davis immediately and has spent the last 2 weeks in the NICU there. During the 2 weeks that Fowler was there at Davis, a number of tests were performed and a number of challenges that we saw immediately. There were some physical defects, some webbed fingers on both hands and two toes on one of his feet. He had ears that were fused to his head and malformed. Through the tests, we learned a number of other physical abnormalities, one being the potential for mental retardation, even though the brain has is proportionately good, there is a potential for mental retardation. He has respiratory struggles. The lungs are not fully developed, and so Valor struggles to get breath, breathing very heavily from his chest and not what would be normal from the abdomen. There are three defects in his heart, a hole between the wall that separates the atriums, which is not uncommon. The hole is small, but yet and it is normal in the condition that Valor was finally diagnosed with. However, there were other abnormalities, a VSD, which is a ventricular septal defect, which is a hole between the ventricles. That was some concern. Because, of course, the ventricles gets the oxygen from the lungs, and so the if the hole is too large, then it's very difficult for the body to get full oxygen. He also has a malformed heart valve that may hinder circulation, and over a disproportionate valve. One of the valves is very large. We just got news of a hearing test that was performed right before his release, and where the numbers were to be about 150s to indicate good hearing. At all of the various sound frequencies, Valor was in the single digits with a couple of digits that were around 10, 12, 15 area. So looks like he may be either nearly deaf or fully deaf. And lastly, he has a stage 5 bilateral reflux in the ureters. What that means is when Valor urinates, the urine backs up into the kidneys, which is bad, as that will give him a much more likelihood of kidney infections and so forth, bladder infections. So we rejoice that God has given us this opportunity and this dear child. We thank God that yesterday Valor finally made it home to Sonora. And so, by God's grace, you'll be able to see him today. Valor, incidentally, has a feeding tube, and he has to be fed every 3 hours. And so it takes about a half an hour to feed and a few minutes of preparation and cleanup after each feeding. And so that's roughly about a 45-minute to an hour process. And so you can imagine sleep for Jennifer has been very limited. And so adjusting schedule is going to be a bit of a challenge. The last 3 weeks for the Bush family has been, in the words of the Grateful Dead song, which may be sort of sacrilegious to quote a Grateful Dead song in an occasion like this, but I think of those words of that word, the song Truckin', what a long, strange trip it's been for the Bush family. But as we have wrestled through the long hours at the hospital and the driving back and forth and the teams of specialists and the poking and prodding and the tests and the procedures, the questions, the prayers, the emails, the text messages, all of the wonderful phone calls and the pain of all of that and the laughter on those rare occasions where we've had laughter, there has been a comfort. A glorious comfort that God has given to us. This has been a long, strange trip. God does not tell us that the Christian life is going to be smooth and easy and nothing but a blessing. God has promised that we'll have persecutions in this world, that we'll have trials and afflictions and difficulties. Christ commanded us to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. And one only needs to do a brief review before you're immediately confronted with the fact that Christ did not have a very easy life in his earthly ministry. But one of the things that we are promised in Scripture is that God will not only deliver us from our trials, but that he will be present, that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us in our trials. But there's another aspect to God that I want to encourage you all with, and that is that God promises a comfort that this world does not understand, a comfort that this world doesn't have access to, but a comfort nevertheless. And it's that comfort that I want to share with you today. And I don't want for a moment for you to think that this sermon should be boiled down to just simply whistling in the dark. Because nothing could be further from the truth. I have one point that I want to unfold for you today with several subpoints. So we'll basically be giving you a list of why we may have comfort in our afflictions. That's the one point I want. I didn't even do an outline. You can just take down the points as we go. Why we may have comfort in our afflictions, and the first point would be this: because we serve the God of the Bible. We don't serve the pagan gods that have a God who is the God of the rain, or a God of the corn, or the God of illness, or the God of this, or the God of that. We do not serve the God of secular atheism that worships the God of blind chance, of random happenings in a universe that does not have any control but chance. We do not serve the deist God who winds up this universe and then departs for a cosmic coffee break to let this world just sort of wind down on its own and leaves this world to the affairs of nature. We do not serve, furthermore, the God of the modern church, who sees that God simply reacts to the events of history and the actions of men. We serve the God of the Bible, the sovereign God who predestinates every detail of history. We serve the God who has, in the words of the Westminster Confession, foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And in light of these medical conditions of valor, that might sound very offensive to many professing Christians today. I can hear the complaints. Are you telling me, Pastor Dave, that God has ordained the slaughter of all those Christians in Iraq? Are you telling me that God has purposed that my 5-year-old daughter should have been hit by that drunk driver and he walked away and I have to deal with the death of my 5-year-old daughter? Are you telling me? And it goes on and on and on. Certainly, a loving God would never cause such tragedies in this world. I remember on one occasion where a well-meaning pastor told a grieving then widow as her husband had committed suicide. God had nothing to do with this. And as well-meaning as that response was, it was theologically wrong. Of course, I was very shocked at that. Had to bite my tongue. I wanted to rebuke him right in front of her. But of course, that was not the context for that. Of course, we realize when it comes to tragedies, to think that somehow God is not involved in tragedies or the difficulties like the Bush family is facing or that many of you have in your own various afflictions faced, it sounds good that God had nothing to do with that. But of course, you see what a desperate theology that is. Because if these things are out of the control of God, then how can we take any comfort when it comes to the battle against Satan, against sin, the cosmic spiritual battle that we're engaged in, that God will have what it takes to secure our salvation? If events are out of God's control, how can we be assured that the events of our resurrection, of our securing a place in heaven, will not be thwarted? We serve the God of the Bible, who has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, and who is sovereign over all the events of this world. We think of passages like Amos 3 and verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people tremble? If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? Amos 3, 6, if you didn't get the text. Now, God is not afraid to credit himself as the one responsible for calamity falling upon a city or bringing those tragic events. And the comfort that I have and the comfort that you may have in your afflictions is that we serve the God of the Bible. The second aspect that I want you to think about is that we may have comfort in our afflictions because God always has a purpose in our afflictions. God always has a purpose. In fact, Proverbs 16:4 says, "The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil." That God has a purpose in allowing wicked people in the world. Everything for its own purpose. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that. How is God glorified in the wicked? Of course, God is a God of justice who's jealous to magnify the fact that he is a God who gives people exactly what they deserve. And when it comes to sin, the justice that God gives to sinners is hell. He will give all sinners exactly what they deserve. And that is a purpose that he has in the wicked, that he would be glorified in their judgment. And one might just pause to think about the account of Pharaoh that we read of in Romans 9, where 9:17 of Romans says, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the world or throughout the whole earth." That God has a purpose for everything that happens in this world. So if God has a purpose, we must seek for that purpose. If the wicked serve God's purpose, If everything serves God's purpose, what is God's purpose? And the third point then that I want you to understand is not only that we serve the God of the Bible, that God has a purpose for everything, but thirdly, because God has a good purpose for Christians. God has a good purpose for Christians. One of the chief themes in Scripture is that God, who is our Father, as a Father, nurtures us, instructs us, disciplines us, all because He loves us. We think of this good purpose and try to understand how it is that God could bring such a painful set of circumstances upon another Christian or a family. Sometimes a loving father has to inflict pain upon his children. This week, one of the discharge responsibilities of the Bush family was that we had to learn how to put an NG tube in to Valor. An NG tube is the feeding tube that goes in through the nasal passage. And it was difficult to see Valor struggle as we're trying to get the NG tube in. And poking and prodding in all of our amateurish inexperience and ramming this tube to try to find a tiny little hole in the back of his sinus cavity as Valor's stretching out his little arms and screaming. And I'm pushing that tube and twisting it, and I'm saying, I'm getting this in because you're not coming home until I get this in. And I had to hold that little boy down. And it got to a point where we could not get this tube in for half an hour, and that poor little boy just screaming, to where he finally just was in such stress that he shut down, stopped breathing, turned red, then purple, then blue. And as the nurse has to hit her emergency button to call in the whole host, she says, get ready because we're going to have 15 people in here in 2 seconds. And I pump little Valor's chest as we had to be taught in one of the videos that was required for release. And those little pumps, Valor began to breathe again. I thought we would lose him that day, that moment. But I didn't do that because I hated him. I didn't inflict that pain upon him because I hated that little boy, but because I love him and I want him home. And I want you to get that perspective when it comes to your afflictions. When God inflicts pain on you, that you have to recognize the character of the God that you serve. That God is a loving Father, and there must be a purpose greater than I am able to comprehend. I don't think Valor was able to put together all the pieces of what he was going through, to understand why this man was ramming this tube down his nose that was such excruciating pain. And I'm going to suggest that the chasm that exists between Valor and myself is far smaller than the chasm that exists between our God and we who are his creatures. And if Valor cannot comprehend my purposes, we can take comfort in the character of our Father and trust that it comes from a loving Father. And though we cannot process it, there's a very good purpose in what he's doing. And in this regard, Romans 8:28 is a verse that comes to my mind. It's often cited when families go through suffering, and with very good reason. It's a fantastic verse. I've heard people say, when they're in difficulty, oh, don't go quoting Romans 8:28. It's not going to help. I know it exists. That's not what I want to hear. That's a fantastic verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. Do you believe that? That is a great comfort, that all things work together for good for God's elect. That should be a great comfort. That verse can only be a discomfort to those who really can't anchor into the promises of that verse. And that's one of the deep comforts is, I may not understand why God is afflicting the Bush family or Valor with this difficult circumstance, but I know this. There's a good purpose behind it. And so that would be the third thing, that not only do we serve the God of the Bible, that he does these things with a purpose, he does them with a good purpose, but we note fourthly that we can take comfort in our afflictions because our comfort in afflictions brings comfort to others. Notice verse 4 of our text, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort others or those who are in afflictions with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And verse 6, but we are afflicted, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring the same sufferings which we also suffered. Have you ever wanted to comfort others? I mean, part of our Christian makeup is we want to bring comforts, the love of Christ, the salvific plan to others. And one of the things that we see in God giving us afflictions, as we can anchor into the comforts of our great God, that when people come to us and they say, you know something, there was something different about the way you went through those circumstances. You weathered that trial that I'm now going through. How did you ever get through that? And we say, let me tell you about the God of all comforts, the God who was with me when I went through that trial, who was near, who gave me these promises, who gave me these perspectives, that this is his character, you see. We can bring these things to a world and comfort them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the comfort that you give to us in our trials. And Lord, in this, we ask that you would receive all glory, all power, all praise. And Lord, we pray that where we may not even see the effects of Valor's life on others, we trust that this will all be made known in heaven. And until such a time, Lord, we surrender ourselves, our energies, our hopes, our thoughts, our hearts into the hands of a loving God who has dispensed this providence in such a way that we are comforted because we know you. We thank you, and we ask that you would be glorified in all these things. For we pray it in the matchless name of that one who has been raised from the dead, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Foundations, the radio ministry of Oak Hill Presbyterian Church. Our church is located at the corner of Mono Way, Highway 108 and Peaceful Valley Road in East Sonora, California. The church with the crosses. Our weekly worship service begins at 9:45 a.m. We would be delighted to have you join us as we worship Almighty God, explore His Word, and fellowship in Christian love. If you would like a copy of today's message or more information about Oak Hill, please visit our website at oakhillopc.org.